a big part of the story, the brachos Yaakov Esav, was that Yitzchak was blind. So, of course, he was blind, so that's how Yaakov was able to deceive him and get the blessings. So Rashi says, how did Yitzchak get blind? So Rashi says that when he was at the Mizbeach, on the altar for the Akedah, so the heavens opened up and the angels were crying. Their tears fell into his eyes. And the tears of the angels fell into his eyes, he became blind. That's what Rashi says. Obviously, it needs an explanation. What does it mean? The angels were crying and the tears fell into Yitzchak's eyes. It's, take it literally, okay, but it's a medrash. So it's better to interpret it figuratively rather than literally. So figuratively speaking, what is the medrash saying? What does it mean? So he says like this. The Shem Shmuel says in page Reishayin Dalet, he says, for Avram to go and kill his son Yitzchak was completely abnormal. In general, a father doesn't want to go kill his own son, and not your only son, and not a son that you waited till you're 100 years old till you finally give birth to him. So what happened, though, was that Avram Avinu, he was consumed with a love for Hashem. It's beyond what we can understand. He was consumed with a love for Hashem. That passion for Hashem was so strong that it overwhelmed completely the love for his son. This passion for Hashem was completely beyond normal. It was abnormal. So now, like this, he says that there's a physical world and then there's a spiritual world, many spiritual worlds. We have our own physical world, but in higher levels, there are many, many spiritual worlds. One of the worlds is the worlds of the angels. Now, usually, where God made the world, the law of nature, God created natural laws, he created laws to create barriers between the higher spiritual worlds and our lower physical world. They're blockages, so it's barriers. It's very difficult for us in this physical world to get an experience of what the spiritual worlds. You can. An average person can, and certainly prophets and Nevi'im, for sure, they get access and they experience the spiritual worlds, but basically a regular person who doesn't work at it and doesn't try probably will never ever get that kind of a spiritual experience. A regular Joe Blow, he's not religious, not Jewish, so he's going to grow up and live in life and die, and the whole thing is physical. He doesn't get any access to spiritual at all. Because that's the way God made it. God made that there's natural barriers between this natural world and the higher spiritual worlds. Now, since Avram Avinu was doing something so against human nature, there's also human nature, which means God made certain regular ways that people operate. So usually you operate the love for a parent to a child is a very fundamental thing. The animals also have it. Birds, animals, they take care of their children. They're not going to go kill their children. They're very abnormal. There's certain creatures that they kill their children, but it's very abnormal. One out of 1,000 such creatures will eat its own babies. But 99.99% of creatures take care of their young. And people are part of the vast majority. So the fact that he would do such a thing because of his passion for Hashem means he broke through the regular laws and barriers of this world to access a higher spiritual world of Hashem, And that's why what he was doing was from a different world. It wasn't from this world. So once he did that, in other words, he broke through the barriers from here to go to some higher spiritual world. So then the other direction, the barriers which prevent the spiritual worlds from above to come into this world were also broken. In other words, once he broke it from his body, once it got broken, the barrier, as we say, mimata lamala, from below, it broke through to above, avavina from below, he broke through to the above. So then the above, which normally is separate, broke through to below. So usually, there are certain things which are going on in this world, which for sure come from a higher world. But when they come, but they go through all these barriers, and they work their way down from the upper worlds to the lower world where we're in, they become more and more physical. Finally, they come into this world as a physical manifestation of some upper world spiritual power. But it's in this world as a physical thing. That's usual. We don't see the real spirituality, a regular person. The higher people, they will, like the Yeriya Kadosh. So one of my students just gave me a book written by the Ben Ish Chai. He's a great Mekubal of Iraq, and it was saved from the Iraqi war. They discovered the manuscript was being Saddam Hussein had it in one of his palaces, so it was saved. The manuscript on Chumash was just published, and one of my students gave it to me. So he writes that the Ben Ish Chai says that when you eat food, you should think about two things. First of all, you should think about the spiritual sparks which are in the food, and second, you should think about the connection that the food has to neshamos, to people's souls. Have that spiritual focus in the physical eating. When you see food, according to Ben Ish Chai, it's not something physical. It's a package of spirituality. But it became physical, but really there's a spirituality in there, which is what you're trying to access. He's a mekubal. He's a very high-level person. The average person doesn't think like that. He eats food because it tastes good or whatever. Physical reasons. He doesn't understand the spirituality. But when Avraham Avinu makes such a breakthrough, he breaks through the regular, normal ways of living into some spiritual level of existence that creates that there's a breakthrough in the other direction. So that the spirituality which comes into the world physically, now for Avraham, it comes in pure, as pure spirituality. Right. So what he said, Hashem Yishmael says that there's a statement in the Zohar, when people pray, you say a tefillah, the tefillah goes up to the spiritual level worlds, and the angels who carry it to Hashem, but as they carry it, before they bring it to Hashem, it says in the Zohar that they kiss it. They kiss the prayer. So what does that mean? He says it means like this, because when we pray, we're living in a physical world. So many of our prayers have this physicality package. So let's say a person praying for health, was praying for panasa, to make a living. So it's a physical. But the truth is that in this physical package which he's thinking about, talking about when he's davening, praying, there's a spiritual element, which is the real core of the prayer, that he's connecting to God. That's a spiritual thing. So the package, the physical package, is a way for that spirituality to be revealed or accessed. So when it gets to higher levels, the main thing is that there's a spiritual dimension here. The angels, when they kiss it, they bring that spiritual dimension out, make it stronger. So when it comes to God, Hashem, there's a very spiritual message in the prayer, not just something physical. Okay. So basically what we're dealing with here is the spiritual and the physical. There is a connection between the two, but there's a tension between the two because they don't match, but they have to be connected. So the average person is much more in the physical with a little bit of spirituality mixed in, but the more spiritual a person is, the more spiritual his experience or his life will be. Okay, now, during the Kedah, since Avram was doing something so spiritual, so unworldly, so his whole situation there with Yitzchak became very spiritual. So all the barriers between the higher and lower worlds were removed, pretty much. So what does it mean that the angels were crying? The water of the tears, these are spiritual energies. When a person cries, he's releasing spiritual energies. Usually because we're very physical, men especially don't like to cry. Try to avoid crying, because the truth is, it's because since we're very physical, we feel embarrassed or we don't feel ready or at the level for such a high level of spirituality, which comes out when you cry. When you cry, you have a tremendous amount of spirituality. So that's why people keep them back. Now the angels, when they cry, that means they're giving out a lot of spirituality. But usually, it doesn't come down because, as we said, there's a lot of barriers. But because at the time of the Akedah, these barriers were broken, so through these angels came down a lot of spiritual energy. That means that their tears came down and went to Yitzchak. Yitzchak should be able to accept so much spirituality. So therefore, like this, so Yitzchak's eyes stopped seeing the physical world. Because they became connected. He became connected to that spiritual world of angels. That's what it means. So his physical eyes ceased operating because a certain level of higher level of spirituality got into him, and he was in a certain way removed from the world. He was in the higher worlds of angels. That's why he didn't see what's going on in this world. That's what he says. That was the pshat. Interesting pshat. Rabotai, we should learn a lesson to try to access the spiritual parts of the world, not to be only the physical world, which is today very strong. It's a that we're living in a time which is the most physical, material since creation. All this gashmis, all these physical things, and they take away the eyesight to see something spiritual, because you're always looking at the physical. So we have to try to break out of this trap. That's why I believe very much people should cry. The more you cry, the more spiritual you become. Because crying breaks through the physical barrier. It's a certain energy, as he says, a shame shmul, that crying breaks through the physical side and gets you spiritual. Women, the Gemara says women cry more than men, because women are naturally more spiritual. Women do less averos than men, much less. Men do many more averos, evil things, than women. You don't have too many women rapists, murderers. Overwhelmingly, it's men. The men do the worst sins. The women do other kinds of sins, but not like men. The women cry more. They have more spirituality. The more you cry, the more spiritual you can become. So I recommend to develop the skill of crying, especially when you daven. Very important to shed tears. That gets you into a higher level of connection. You can connect to higher levels, not be stuck in this world. Yes?
You said that you're so blind to the physical.
Right.
Why couldn't you see spiritual? Why couldn't you see who was in front?
He was connected. He was so connected to the spiritual that he stopped seeing things physical.
Right. So
That's why the Torah says he was blind. He couldn't see anything physical because he was so connected to the spiritual worlds above.
So you couldn't tell
couldn't, because that would be something physical you'd have to see. Because something is in the spiritual world, Hashem kept this a secret from him. The difference between Yaakov and Esav. That was Hashem's thing. Hashem could have told Yitzchak, Esav, you know, he's a prophet, so he can tell the prophet. Hashem could tell him Esav was no good and Yaakov was good. Like Rivka, she got some kind of a prophecy. There's no reason why Yitzchak shouldn't get it. But Hashem purposely didn't tell it to him in order for Yaakov to wind up getting the blessings. You know, we were talking about it yesterday, the double role, the role of being spiritual, but the role of physical, of fixing the world. So Esav was supposed to do that, but he made bad choices, so it turned out Yaakov had to have a double role. Now Yitzchak had only that spiritual role, he didn't have the physical role. That's why he liked Esav, because he realized after the Akedah that he had become so spiritual he couldn't do anything in this world. He was just connected to the upper worlds. He couldn't do anything for this world. So he said, it's not correct. My children have to do that. So that's why he liked Esav. But it was wrong. But then at the end, Yaakov had to do both. So you get back to what's called this back and forth. There's a back and forth between the spiritual worlds and experiences and the physical world. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he had a chiddush. His chiddush was that the physical is spiritual because of this back and forth. Because I spoke to you yesterday that the yeshivas, they say, no, it's either physical or spiritual, so we prefer the spiritual, so we sit and learn Torah all day. That's all we want to do, be in the spiritual world. Torah is an access to the higher level of spiritual world. The Torah breaks through all the barriers. That's what they say. If you learn Torah, you right away go to the spiritual worlds. You don't have to. The Nefesh HaChaim is a whole book about it. And so that's like a secret that the Jews were given by Hashem, a secret gift, the gift of Torah, that you can break through this physical, ego, spiritual, just sit and learn Torah a whole day. But Shem Mishnah was explaining that really that's not the ideal. The ideal is both, that Yaakov and Esav. And Yaakov becomes Esav. He puts on Esav's clothing. He has to do the physical too. But the Chiddush of the Lubavitcher was more than the Shem Shmuel. He claims that the physical is spiritual. We think that there's a barriers, and we think that there's two different realms, and either this or that, or go both realms, but they're not the same. He says, the Lubavitcher, that the physical is spiritual. That's why his Hasidim have no problems spending hours a day cooking food for people. I was cooking food for people, making Shabbos lunches and other things. It's not spiritual. So maybe I should not be doing this because of my higher calling is spiritual. So the Babaji Rebbe says, doing physical things, doing mitzvahs which are physical, is spiritual.
Right.
That's their chiddush. That's why they have absolutely complete and total commitment to do physical things which are good, mitzvos, Mitzvos Maisios, they say, is mamish ruchnis, mamish spirituality. You think it's physical. It's like I told you that Ari HaKadosh says about the very Ari, the Lubavitch Chassid is very influenced by Ari. The Ari says, when you eat food, don't look at it and say, this is a piece of food and it tastes good and I like it. No, think about the spirituality in the food. It has sparks of holiness. It has pieces of souls, of neshamas. Just think about that. He even says, when it tastes good, what tastes good is the spirituality in the food, not the physical part of the food. He says, your taste buds are antennas to pick up spiritual signals which are in the food. When you eat, that's why the Rebbes, they eat food very, very slowly. You ever go to a Rebbe's tish, see how the Rebbe eats food? Eats very little, but it's very, very slow. I went to many times to the above of a Rebbe's at Zal, had big tish. So he would take, he had like 12 challahs, all gigantic, on the same Shabbos tish. Cut it all up, 1,000 chassidim, devout pieces. And what does he eat? He takes one tiny piece of challah. This was his supper for Shabbos now. And he's chewing that piece of challah for 15 minutes. Very, very, very slow. What's going on? He's not thinking about the physical food. He's thinking about the spirituality in the food. Every time his tongue tastes something, he's bringing out holy sparks. The physical is spiritual. Lubavitch went further. Not just when you eat food like the Ari. Anything you do is physical, is really spiritual. Now, if we talked about yesterday, Torah Mada. The true, ultimate Torah Mada would say that when you're studying the Mada, you're actually accessing Kedusha, Ruchnius, because when you do it, you think about the Kedusha in this, in that Chachma. Because all Chachma comes from Hashem. So when I'm studying math or physics, it's Hashem's Chachma, which is in that math. So I would have to put that idea into my head. When I do the equation, I'm thinking Hashem's thoughts, which are the foundation of the equation. So that's why I get Kedusha in the equation. That's the real Torah Mada. That's the real one. Where you put the Ruchnius into the Gashmius. That's really Ari. And it's very much by Chabad. Very much. Very strong. And this Shem Shmuel here is dealing with the tension between the two worlds. He doesn't say this. He doesn't say that you can make Ruch Gashmius Ruchnius. He says certain people like Avram and Yitzchak break through the Gashmius and they're living a Ruchnius life in this world. And then he says there is another part to get into the Gashmius, which is Esav and Yaakov in his new role. He never says that the Gashmius itself becomes Ruchnius. That's not in this piece, maybe someplace else. But over here, he's just saying, you know, it's two different things, and it's important. It's important. Someone has to do the Gashmius. If God put us here, there are mitzvahs to do. You have to do good things. But he's not saying that the Gashmius becomes Ruchnius. But the Ari does. I guess it makes it much easier to do Gashmius and feel Ruchnius. A lot of yeshiva graduates have a tremendous problem when they finish the yeshivos and have to go out and work. They feel that they've left Ruchnius. Now they're in some kind of b'dieved, tamei life, because I have to work and deal with all kinds of nitty gritty real-to-life things. But I was spent 10 years learning Torah the whole day, so it was such a spiritual thing. Now I had a nefilah. Many of them have a sort of like a quasi-depression when they're out there working, because they're not, they think that they left the spiritual and they got involved in the material, and that's a bad, they feel very bad about it. Many of them have spoken to me about it. They have a big problem because the philosophy there doesn't take care of this transition of moving the Hasidus has much more of value in the materialist, in the material world, that they see it more. And of course, why you? But why you, if you're doing, you are doing the Mada, you have to bring in the Torah or the Ruchnius into the Mada. Then you're doing it the right way. If it's two separate things, Torah is one thing and Mada is something else, it's okay, but it's not the ideal. It's not the ideal. The more you think of it as Ruchni, the better it is. If you can go all the way like Chabad, but move in that direction is a good idea. You spend so much time in the Mada, because really you've been trained to spend basically at least half a day, if not the whole, most of the day, then eventually the whole day, doing Mada, doing outside things, not Torah. So you have to give it as much spirituality as you can. It can affect many real-life decisions. You know, you can make decisions. I'll pick something which gives me more of a spiritual dimension. You know, you make that decision when you decide where you're going to bring the right? Let's say you want to have a question, where to live. It's a physical thing. Will I live in a real firm community? Or will I live in Timbuktu because I make more money over there? You think that Ruchnius is part of my what I'm doing, so of course I'll pick to live in the Frum community. I'll make less money, but I'll be in the Frum place. I'll have more Ruchnius. You have to think these things through with this factor. The Ruchnius is part of my Gashmius. That's the point. Okay, Botai Shikach. Okay, now I want to